If you're visiting, we are in an Advent series. This is the third Sunday of Advent, and we're talking about Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. He's not removed. He's not at some distant place watching over the world, but he entered into this world. As somebody said, God moved into your neighborhood. No matter where you live, God is with us. No matter what you're going through this morning, what your week has been like, God is with you. And the last two Sundays, we saw that God is with us as our Savior. That's what Jesus means. The Lord saves. And last week, Pastor Roy was talking about how God is with us as our shepherd. In Matthew, we saw that the angel says, a ruler who will shepherd your people has been born. God is our good shepherd. And today what we want to look at is how God is with us in Jesus. What we celebrate at Christmas, God is with us in Jesus as the King of righteousness and justice. The King of righteousness and justice. We've already been singing about that a little bit in some of our songs. But we're going to read the passages that are in your bulletin in just a moment. It's probably easiest to follow along there or on the screen because we're looking at a couple of different passages. Actually, two of them are going to be our call to worship. I just want to read them again this morning. But before we read, just want to relay something that I think caused me to think and I want us to think about a little bit this morning. I saw a video clip of a pastor who's a well-respected pastor, a man who's been used in powerful ways by God, and certainly a brother that is part of God's family. But one of the things he said in a sermon was that when the gospel changes your life, you go from social issues to spiritual issues. When the gospel changes your life, you go from social issues to spiritual issues. And I want us to kind of just have that in our mind as we think this morning. Is that really an either-or category? When we think about Jesus being with us as the King of righteousness. And it might even come to your mind as we're reading these passages. So from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And then Isaiah 42, behold my servant in whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. If you're bruised this morning, if you feel like you're faintly burning, that's good news. He's not going to crush you or smolder you. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or discouraged. Been there? He will not grow faint or discouraged till he establishes justice in the earth. And the coastlands, the nations, wait for his law. So those are the prophecies from Isaiah, among many others, about the coming king, the coming Messiah, Jesus. And then this is how Luke talks about it. Just a couple of verses from Luke chapter 1, 30 through 33. This is the announcement of the angel to Mary. He says to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. We'll read that Hebrews passage in just a little while. One of the things I love about Facebook is I can keep track of all of you. I don't know if you knew that or not, but pastors do that. It's actually a helpful pastoral tool. And we can stay connected in your lives in different ways, kind of know what's going on. Some of you all are going to post less on Facebook now, aren't you? But I love what I read, actually, from one of our members, Christy Sawyer, who posted this earlier this week. It was something that she had written, and she was kind of reflecting on how Christmas in our culture has become largely kind of sentimental and very consumer-focused. And this is what she said. She says, "I want Christmas retold. Instead of shattering mankind's concept of time and space and rocking the world with wonder and awe, Christmas has become a fairy tale, like Snow White or Rumpelstiltskin. A cosmic event so huge that it had to be heralded by angels, proclaimed by a star, foretold by time past, and fulfilled as promised in a little town in Judah, has become the stuff of marketing and mediocrity." And she says, "I want my Christmas back. I want my Christmas back." Now, don't get me wrong. I like Christmas trees and lights and candles and the stockings hung by the chimney with care if you have a chimney. And I'm not speaking against all of that. But if that is the heart of Christmas for you, even if it is a time of just enjoying being together with family, as good as that is, we are missing something that is absolutely essential that God wants us to lay hold of. We've talked about it in the last couple of weeks. Christmas is when we celebrate God among us as the Savior, God among us as the Shepherd, but also when we celebrate and remember and place our hope in God among us right here, right now, in this broken world as a just and righteous King. And we need a righteous ruler, don't we? One of the reasons Isaiah 9 and 42 and so many passages talk about justice and righteousness is because God is very aware that we live in a world that is filled with injustice and a lack of righteousness. These words that we see in Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 42, you see justice again and again and again. You see righteousness. These words are used hundreds of times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And, of course, there are lots of different ideas about justice and social justice, and you've got to define some of these terms. But if anybody ever says that the gospel is not about justice, then they've got to read their Bible. Here we see these words, justice and righteousness. And justice refers really just to kind of, these words actually also are very closely related. They kind of overlap. They're not exactly synonyms, but they're very close. And justice kind of speaks about people getting what they are due. All right? So in our country, we have the Justice Department. One of the things the Justice Department does is they set up their courts and judges who make rulings. And if somebody is due a punishment for a crime that they committed, then they oversee the prison system. Right? Sometimes you think of justice and it's getting what you are due. But most of the time in the Bible, justice is not about the punishment. Justice is about people getting their basic rights provided for, being cared for. Now, when we talk about justice and injustice in the Bible, we're not talking about people getting just what they want. And we're not talking about people getting what everybody else has. Okay? Sometimes, maybe everybody heard your kid ever say, "That's not fair." And they'll say, "It's not fair because somebody else got a toy that they want." Okay, that's not like a fundamental injustice for somebody to have a toy that your child doesn't have. The Bible talks about justice in relation to God's law, which He defines. And it talks about justice in relation to people being created in the image of God. And so what are we due according to God's law as those who bear His image? That's what we're talking about with justice. God determines what is just. In fact, if you are here this morning, if you're not somebody who knows the Lord, if you don't maybe have an understanding of His word, I would ask, what is the basis for justice if it's not rooted in someone outside of just me? Okay? Because, I mean, I want what I want, and you want what you want. We need to have a higher authority. And God defines what justice is. A word that's related to that is this word righteousness. And really, righteousness speaks about things being right in relationships. Right in our relationship with God and right in our relationship with one another. So justice is giving people what they are due. Righteousness is people walking in right relationship with God and one another. And the reason Isaiah and all of the prophets cry out for it. And Amos says, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, is because they live in a world just like the one that you and I live in that is so filled with people not getting what they are due and with people not walking in right relationships with one another. We see it all the time, don't we? Simple things. How do you feel, Roy, if you go to get your car fixed and you give the mechanic $1,000 and the problem isn't fixed and he won't answer your phone call?
I'm angry.
You're angry because you paid for something and you're due the repair and you didn't get it. And if you are a tenant, you live in an apartment and it's 20 degrees outside and your furnace goes out and you've signed a contract for your lease and your furnace goes out and your landlord will not come and repair it. You're angry and you're cold, right? Now, if you're a landlord and your tenants don't pay the rent, you do that, right? These are simple areas where we want what is just in our normal day-to-day life. I saw something on the news about elderly people who were taken advantage of by some investor who was dishonest and was basically taking all their investment money and lost it all. But of course, there are other areas where people don't get what we are due. Many of you here grew up in very difficult homes where, as a child, in the image of God, in God's economy, God's world, according to His law, a child is due simple basic protection and provision. That's one of the responsibilities of mothers and fathers and adults. And many of you grew up in places where you didn't have that. You were neglected. You were abandoned. Many. Sexually abused. That's injustice. Some of you have grown up here under oppressive governments where the rulers of your nation, because of your ethnic group or because of your tribal affiliation or because of your religion, set up a system that made it impossible for you to get a job or use their army violently against you. Injustice. The history of our country, of course. Slavery, a huge, massive injustice of those who are created in the image of God, not even being regarded as human beings and being given what they are due. Around the world right now, over 20 million adults and children are being bought and sold for sexual servitude, for forced labor, for bonded labor. Injustice. We are in a broken world. Injustice everywhere. And if your heart, if your mind, if it cries against it, if you're angry with Roy and you say, we want things to be set right again, you're in a good place because you're longing for a better world. You're longing for justice. You're longing for righteousness. But if your hope is in the rulers of these nations, if your hope is ultimately in the president of the United States, I don't care how you voted, whoever the president is, if your hope is ultimately in the president, you're going to be disappointed. In fact, I would say in your own world, if it's like mine, I have a world in which I have significant authority. And I can't even bring about rightness there in the way that I relate to my wife and my kids. You see, the problem isn't just out there, it's in here as well. And we need for things to be set right again. We need a righteous ruler. Henry Longfellow, he wrote this poem. And some of you, if you listen to the radio that plays the Christmas songs right now, you hear this maybe, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. You ever hear that song? Their old familiar carols play of peace on earth, goodwill to man. Well, what you might not know is that there's other lines in that song. He wrote that song actually during the Civil War. And he wrote that song at a time when his son had just gone off to fight for the North against his will. and his son had become severely injured in the battle. At the same time that his wife died in a tragic house fire. And so he's writing this song, Christmas season, he's hearing the bells, and he says this. This is another verse. He says, "It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent. Things are torn apart and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." He's desperate for a world where things will be set right again. A world of justice and righteousness. And if you long for that, if you're desperate for it, I want to point you this morning simply to Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel. Yes, as our Savior. Yes, as our Shepherd. But God with us as the one who has come to set things right again, the King of justice, the King of righteousness. In this passage in Luke, we see some things here. He's called the Son of the Most High. Now, in Jewish culture, if you heard Son of Most High, you would assume that to be the King. The King is the Most High. The Son of the Most High is the coming King. The Lord, it says, will give him the throne of his father David. And this ties back to promises all the way back in the Old Testament about the coming of King David and one who would be on his throne forever. The eternal King. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And the message is that Jesus, this child born in Bethlehem, Jesus, born to Mary, born to Joseph, in a cave, in a stable, vulnerable, weak, God with us. Jesus is this King of righteousness. God is with us as the one who has authority, power to set things right again. I heard another story this past week. It was about an army general. And I don't know how much this goes on in the military, but I thought it was pretty cool. An army general who... they would normally not allow to get too close to the front lines. He's too high of a target. But he would go and he would change his uniform. He would take off the one with the stars and the one with the stripes. And he would put on the uniform of a simple, basic, enlisted military man. He would get in a truck and he would go to the front lines of the battle. He went to dwell among the troops, to be with them, to see what was going on, to feel what they felt, to see what they saw. But he was there, they knew, as the general with authority. Jesus Christ has come not just with the authority of a general. He has come with the authority and the power of the great King, the ruler over all of the nations. And I want to just invite you, think with me for a little bit. When he actually came on this earth, what did it look like in different ways for him and his ministry to set things right again? Think about this. Things were not right around race. The Jews and the Samaritans despised one another. And so Jesus tells a story, and he makes the hero of the story the Samaritan. There was a court in the temple where the nations, the Gentiles, were allowed to come into worship. And money changers had set it up and made a place of commerce. And Jesus comes and he turns over the tables. He says, "No, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." He's setting things right where they're broken around race. He's setting things right between men and women in a world, in a culture where women were often disregarded and disrespected. And he sees a woman at a well and he does what a Jewish man would almost normally never do. He talks to her. He engages her. They're on the same level. He sets things right again between men and women. He sets things right with children, where children were expected to be kind of put off to the side and never welcomed in. And he says, "Let the little children come to me." And he does this miracle. Remember the one with the feeding of the 5,000? And who does he use? A little boy. He sets things right again with children. And he sets things right for those who are sick. when he heals them and he sets things right again for the poor, when he says the gospel is good news for the poor, and he sets things right again for the rich, when he goes to the tax collectors who had all of the money, and he said the kingdom of God is about something far greater than the wealth that you have. Enter in. And he sets things right again for sinners when he says, I have come not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Jesus sets things right again. And he sets things right again for you and for me. I want to just look at this Hebrews passage real quickly. This struck me, Hebrews 2, and it approaches the birth of Christ and the ministry of Christ, who sets things right again from a little different perspective. But in Hebrews 2, he says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, that's you and me, he says, he himself likewise partook of the same things. That's Advent. Jesus became like us, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. What is the author of Hebrews saying here? You see, we talk about all the injustice in the world and the oppressive rulers. There is one who is behind all of that, right? The prince of the power of the air, the one who in the garden deceived Adam and Eve, the true enemy, the evil one, Satan, the devil. And it says here that he who is also the oppressor, the evil one, what does Jesus do? How does he set things right there? Will he actually get his justice? The author of Hebrews says, yes, Christ came. He partook of the same things, flesh and blood, that through his death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. Is that good news, church? The destruction of the one who has the power of death. And then what about you and me? You see, if we hunger for justice, which I hope you do, we have a problem, right? What if you and I get what we deserve? What if we get what is due to us? For the fact that we have not loved God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not loved people with our words or with our thoughts or with our actions. How can God be just in relation to you and me? Hebrews has such good news. It says he delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Justice has been satisfied because Jesus came as the King of righteousness, who was willing to go to the cross and pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. And the best of our songs that we sing at Christmas time are not simply sentimental songs about stockings and a fireside. They're songs about Jesus who has come to set things right again. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Her King. The world is under a greater dominion than Satan, under a greater dominion than the rulers of this world. Let earth receive her King. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Yes. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. O holy night, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppressions shall cease. Jesus has come. Emmanuel has come. God has come among us as the one who sets things right again. What difference does that make for you? I hope it changes your perspective. I hope it gives you hope. I hope it gives you peace. I was reminded of that this past week. Some of you saw this video of Judy Scott, who was being interviewed. Judy Scott is the mother of Walter Scott. Walter Scott was a 50-year-old African-American man who was shot by a police officer in North Carolina, I think. And of course, police officers are called to an incredibly, incredibly difficult job, and almost all of them have my incredible respect for the work that they do. But they also have incredible power and authority. And in this situation, there was a man who was shot. There was a video that when he was running away from the police in the other direction. And the mayor of Charleston himself said that what happened was very unfortunate. But what happened was a mistrial in this situation. But here's what struck me. And not even necessarily so much about this exact incident, but for every instance in which you feel that you have been dealt with unjustly, every instance in which there is injustice in this world, everywhere where things need to be set right again, what could the response be in that situation? It could be riots in the street, right? If the family rises up and calls for that, things are tense in our country. We've seen it, right? And so what is the response of the family in this situation? What is the response of the mother, Judy Scott, in this situation? And here's what she said, and it just rocked me, and it said, God, give me that kind of faith. She said this. She said, today, I am not sad. And I want you to know why I'm not sad. Because Jesus is on the inside. And I know that justice will be served because the God that I serve, He is able. God is my strength. And I know without a doubt that He is a just God and injustice will not prevail. Her hope ultimately is not in that court that just was there. Her hope is in a greater authority. The God who is, yes, her Savior, but also the God of justice. She says, I'm going to rest in the Lord. You see, because the reason why I can speak as I am is because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want that for myself. When I'm angry, when I'm broken, when I'm torn up, when I want to just say, God, where are you? I want to be able to say with this sister, Judy Scott, I'm not sad. The joy of the Lord is my strength because God is a God of justice. I want to boast in the Lord, who is, yes, my personal Savior, who is my good shepherd, but who is also the just and righteous judge. That's what Jeremiah calls us to. He has this passage where he says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the rich man boast in his riches, or the strong man boast in his strength, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. And then he goes on to say this, that I am the Lord who exercises steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. Boast in that, Lord. We need a righteous ruler. We need a just king. Jesus is that righteous ruler. He is that just king. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Luke says, of His kingdom, there will be no end. Now, the challenge, of course, for you and me, just like for Judy Scott, is that we live in between, right? We live in between the first coming and the second coming of this king, and things are not yet set right as we want them to be. And if we can be honest, it's difficult, right? And it's a wrestle of faith to believe that Jesus, who came, who was setting things right in His ministry, He really did it with the children and with the sick and with the lame and the women and the Samaritan. He will come again and do it entirely around the earth as far as the curse is found. I've been encouraged in John 14 when Jesus is talking to His disciples and He says, it's the passage where He says, I go to prepare a place for you. But He says, I will go and I will come again. You ever think about that word again? He came the first time. And He's going to come again. Even secular historians, non-Christians, believe that He came the first time. It's documented. And the historians of the first century, He came the first time. He will come again. He will set things right again. And so we are in a time like Simeon in the New Testament of waiting. Let it also be a time of worshiping and a time of working, laboring for those things which reflect the very heart of God. John says in 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus, with a heart of justice and a heart for righteousness, let us live it out. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. And here's the great news for you this morning, brothers and sisters. It's twofold. One is that you can be encouraged that God will set things right again. You don't need to live in fear. You can live in a place of peace in a very broken world. But not only that, that God wants to, in the meantime, use you to bring His very righteousness on this earth. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness wherever you are. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are principals. Some of you own your own company. Some of you are nurses or doctors. Some of you work in factories. Some of you are cleaning hotel rooms. You can seek what is good and what is just wherever God has placed you. You can seek it in your family. You can seek it in your neighborhood. That God would use you to begin in your own little place to set things right again in this broken world. Amen? Amen. I want to ask Justin Semihoro to come on up a minute. Would you come up, Justin? What we've tried to do during this sermon series is to look at God's Word, but also to have a brief time of testimony from one of our members. And so Justin's coming up, and if you don't know Justin, he's been part of this church for a long time now, 8 years, right?
8 years.
8 years. And he's originally from Eastern Congo. He's grown up in a very violent place where things were not right. One of the reasons I asked Justin to come up is that whenever I pray with Justin, he says, you know, some people say our Father, some people say Lord. Justin says King of Glory. Something about his faith is tied into this righteousness of God being the King. So tell us just a little bit about what you've maybe been through or how it encourages you, how you've been able to live. Justin's a happy guy. He's full of hope. The kind of hope that a lot of people would say you shouldn't have if you've lived through what he's had. How has Jesus being the King helped you?
Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this occasion.
You gotta put it right up. Yeah.
Thank you for giving me this occasion. And before I speak, I would like to read a scripture in Deuteronomy 10. 17-19. If anyone has English, you can help me to read that. And also, I will ask my people to come here. This is a very short chorus verses that I like to sing, which has helped me. I would like to sing that with them. As I speak, they can come forward. And then I will share my testimony.
This is Deuteronomy 10, verses 17 through 19. And it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt."
Amen. Thank you very much. For those who don't know me, my name is Justin Semihoro Kimenyerwa from Eastern of Congo. As the pastor said, I was born and raised in an oppression government, but in all that, I have seen the hand of God. And the part that I will share, as I was growing up as a child, I have one memory that I will never forget. And that's when my brother, who is Victor, he's here with me. He was a businessman, and he was doing very well back in the days. And because of the oppression of the the government. I remember one day he was coming from one town called Uvira, coming back to our village, and then he met with the soldiers. He had a lot of money with him, and they arrested him. They asked him, "Where are you coming from, and where are you going?" And he replied to them. And they said, "You are not supposed to do business in this country. This country does not belong to you. You have to go back to where you came from." And he was born and raised in the eastern of Congo. So they took him. They beaten him to death. They tied him up, his arms on his back, tied up his legs. He was bleeding. And they threw him in a hole behind the road. He was there. He spent there like 2 days with no food, tightened up his arms on the back, and he had nothing to eat or drink. But by God's grace, people who were passing by, they heard somebody screaming on the other side of the road. And they went, they cut off the chains and the way he was tied up, and then they took him. By the time he came home, he couldn't be able to even speak, drink, eat. It was really horrific for him and for our family. And that happened not because of something he has done, just because of the injustice which was done to him. But in all that, whatever or no matter how the injustice is happening to people, to minorities or whoever, always God is in control, and God works hard, and God sees those who are minorities, those widows, orphans, and those who are discriminated. Always God sees them and protects them. Coming from Congo to other parts of Africa, even America itself, there's injustice, but only God, King of Glory, He will come and reign, and there won't be any injustice again. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen.
Eso niwe ni ishema yambere ibuhungiro kachankura kwa mahoro yambere ibuhungiro umwami ni gitara gikomeye umwami ni gitara gikomeye Kambere ibuhungiro mumvura mbere ubwugamo yambere ibuhungiro kumana mbere igicucu yambere ibuhungiro umwami ni gitare gikomeye kirakomeye Umwami ni gitare gikomeye yambere ubuhungiro ntabwo nzavaho Yesu ari Tambere yubuhungiro na ugawe na wenta sampe mukira. Tambere yubuhungiro. Umami ni gitare gikomeye. Ikomeye kira komeye. Umami ni gitare gikomeye. Tambere yubuhungiro. Umami ni gitare gikomeye. Ikomeye kira komeye. Umami ni gitare gikomeye. Yambere yubuhungiro. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Justin. Thank you so much, brother. Can you just share with us just a minute the chorus for that song? What are you singing
about?
Yeah,
the chorus says, "Our God is a mighty God. Is we are under His wings and He covers. No matter what, we'll just be with God and with Him. Nothing will happen to us because He's our protector."
Amen and amen. And one of the things that, you know, God, one of the greatest gifts we have is the body of Christ to walk together. And one of the things that I love about you, brother, is you're filled with joy. Mm-hmm. You're resting in what you're singing about in a way that just really encourages my heart and teaches me. The other thing is, Justin is going to school. He's got two children, going to school full time and working, but he's going to school to study international relations, because in the time that God gives him, you want to work to bring some of this healing and justice to this world, right?
Sure. Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you for taking the time. Thank you. Amen. All right, church. Well, the great news is that the King has come. The King will come again. Justice has been satisfied for you and for me at the cross. And we are invited to the table of the King. And so I want to invite you. Pastor Roy is going to lead us this morning as we end our service around this table, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. You can stand. The way we do this here at New City is we make a circle around the outside, sort of a family style, and Pastor Roy will lead us.